listening to KNKT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Good afternoon and welcome into ABQ Connect. Good friend of mine and the owner of 3D Security Services Group, 3D Security Training Solutions, and 3D Security Investigative Services on the phone with us today, Mr. Chris Sweeten. Chris, thank you for joining us today on ABQ Connect.
Not a problem, Jim.
Hey, Chris, one of the reasons I wanted to have you on the call today is because we've obviously all been hearing every day more and more about the killing of George Floyd. And a lot of people are pointing the fingers at Derek Chauvin, the police officer with his knee on the neck of George Floyd. He's apparently been charged. A lot of people upset that he wasn't charged with, at least second-degree murder. And you are a person that is qualified to train. One of the things that you do as a former military officer, and by the way, thank you for your service, Chris. I know yourself and your wife and John Hughes over at 3D are all veterans, and we really appreciate all the work that you do there. A lot of folks, former armed services personnel, are serving with 3D security and help keeping our communities and businesses safe as a result. Chris, I'm not asking you to be a judge and jury regarding the Minneapolis police officer with his knee on George Floyd's neck, but what do you see in the video that violates standard training protocols?
Well, what I saw, the minute we saw that video Tuesday morning, the entire company went in an uproar. All of us that are on the training side of the house that are certified as use of force instructors through the American Council on Criminal Justice Training, or we're also New Mexico State Law Enforcement Academy general lecturers, instructors, let alone DOD master instructors, all of us said the same thing, that this officer, this cop, was going to get charged with murder. The reality is, when the threat stops, you're supposed to stop. If resistance stops, you're supposed to stop using force. And when somebody's handcuffed, when you train them and you use the correct procedure to handcuff them, and if they happen to be on their stomach, you roll them to their side or in a sitting position to make sure they can breathe, because positional asphyxiation can lead into excited delirium, or death. And it is very, very, I know for us in 3D, we stress on it with case studies. Multiple case studies when we're training security officers, law enforcement, military about it. So that way everybody is 100% sure the minute you cuff somebody, we've got to get them off of their stomachs. Mm-hmm. And you never, ever put your knee in somebody's neck. It's always on the scapula, on the shoulder blade, and it's only to help lock in your knee placement on your other knee to lock in an elbow and keep their subject from rolling. And once that's done, you roll them over, put them in a recovery position, or sit them up.
And that's really pretty common, isn't it, across police departments around this country? Because it's kind of a standard. It's a medically documented, safe way to handle people that are detained. Chris, you've already alluded to some of your experience in training police and security officers. Tell us a little bit about your military background and how you came to own 3D Security Services.
I was in the United States Air Force as a combat search and rescue flight engineer. I started teaching back in 1997, and that's when I really started learning that I like teaching, and got my master instructor's degree through the military in 2011 and continued on from there. Started the company in 2014 when I retired, and, have my degree in adult learning. And it's one of those things that I'm passionate about, and making sure everybody else understands what, how to protect themselves and how to do things, and just teaching. I love teaching.
Well, Chris, you do a lot more than just teach security people, including police officers and military folks. You do a lot of teaching of just the general public, don't you?
Yes, sir. We have multiple classes for the general public, all the way up from some basic hand-to-hand stuff, personal protection, little things here and there, building their situational awareness, all the way up to if they want to learn how to be a scout sniper for a precision rifle. So on the civilian side of the house, there's all of the NRA classes that are available out there, plus many, many more.
Chris, tell us about the human element. If you have a person detained and this person starts to curse at you or swear after they are handcuffed, does that give you the right to throw them on the ground and beat them up?
Nope. I will give you a short story that that I can talk to because it happened to me exactly. I was working one night. I went out to work with my officers, and a brick was thrown at one of my officers' heads. So we detained the subject, handcuffed him, sat him down, and he was cursing and yelling and saying all sorts of profanities at us. And I was able to just stand there with him the entire time, waiting for law enforcement to show up. He continued to try and reach into his back pocket, but, you know, we're security, so we don't search. And at that point in time, once law enforcement arrived about an hour to an hour and a half later, and they actually found a knife in his back pocket, that, well, it was more of a shiv. It wasn't truly a knife, but he was trying to get to that to hide it. So, cause he knew law enforcement was coming, but the entire time he was on the ground, sitting in a sitting position, handcuffed, screaming and yelling out at me specifically. I heard I was called every name in the book up and down, talked about my mom, talked about everything. And I made sure he was sitting up, still breathing, still talking, and it, at that point, it doesn't matter. It, you know, it's like water off a duck's back. You know, it is not something that you're supposed to take personally. If you start taking it personally, then that's when problems come in, and that's what other officers are for. Have somebody else take over for you if it's starting to bother you.
Sure. Well, and Chris, I've seen some of your reality-based training. And you're definitely not gentle with the people that you're training. Is this one of the reasons they need to know how to handle people when their mouths are running like crazy and you have them detained?
Yes. The reality-based training that we provide to whether civilian, law enforcement, military, security, it doesn't matter. The whole purpose is to put them into that environment and see how they're going to react. As you well know, my favorite saying is you'll never rise to the occasion, you fall to your training. And that is where people need to see how they're going to react. And if people start thinking in the security realm, if people start taking it personally, then their pride gets involved because somebody's talking about them or their mother or whatever it may be, then this job may, you know, this industry may not be for them. And they need to understand that, look, they're just yelling to yell. Let them, it's their First Amendment right. Let them talk. It's no big deal. You know, they're not good. The law enforcement will deal with them when they get there. You know, they've broken the law. We've detained them. We're now a good witness for law enforcement. That's security's job, for the active and lawful prosecution.
You know, I had Bishop David Cooper. He pastors a church here in Albuquerque, the New Hope Full Gospel Baptist Church here in Albuquerque. And one of the things that he said, and we actually put his quote up on Facebook, he said something to the effect that racism does not occur unless you have power, that racism is about power. So I guess what I'm thinking in my mind is, you know, I can see how people can be provoked. I mean, I've been mad. I've had incidents in my past where I've had people drive by me and cuss me out, and then I have acted inappropriately and done the same back to them as we're driving down the street. So, I mean, I get how hard it is to control yourself. Do you see people that you would, I guess, I hate to use the word categorize, but do you see personalities where they just can't be humble as they move forward? I know you have to be pretty aggressive sometimes, but you also have to be thoughtful. You mentioned earlier when you're in proper handcuff position that you're actually protecting the health of the individual. You're not actually trying to dislocate their shoulder or bully them in any way. Tell us a little bit more detail about some of that type of training.
So the big things for the training that goes into it is, yes, there's always going to – that's what – there's going to be people that have – their pride step in front of them and cause them to get hurt by what people are saying. And yes, we all know words do affect people. And but they need to remember that this is a job. You're acting as the agent of the owner of wherever you're working in the security world. And it's not an aggressive posture. You need a professional posture. You need to make sure that you're stern to make sure and give the people the option. Always give them the out, because we're not the judge, we're not the jury, we have nothing to do. We're just here to say, this is what the law is, this is what the owner wants, this is what we will do if you continue to stay here, break the law, whatever it may be. We will detain you for law enforcement to show up, and law enforcement will then make that decision. But getting to that point where people understand that it's okay to let people curse at you, it's okay to let people vent, because the reality is, in human nature, when people start to vent, as long as they're not going crazy and starting to continue to get a lot higher and escalate the situation, as long as you keep them semi-calm and de-escalate them from getting really out of hand, let them vent, because that's burning up all of their emotions and their adrenaline that they're tapping into. Their adrenal gland is going. So the more they're able to do that, and once they start to calm down, the body will calm them down themselves. And the de-escalation training, we talk about never raising your voice, because let's face it, anybody that's been in an argument will argue, and the next person starts to yell, and then you start to yell louder, and then you start to yell louder. So it continually ramps up. But if you keep your voice at a monotone level and learn to not listen to the bad things, but hear the good things or what they're trying to tell you, and then start talking to them. You know, whatever their issues are, let them say it. Because at the end of the day, for private security anyway, our whole job is to be a good witness. So we have to observe and report. So I don't get to do an investigative stop, you know, for probable cause. So the security world, if they're venting, they're giving me all the facts I need to know. So they're actually giving it to me. I'm just getting it, like a shotgun blast to the face, because they're yelling at me. And that's where it takes a lot of training to get there. And unfortunately, you know, people don't, they expect it, but then when the first thing that they leave out of their budget is a training budget. Because I don't care if you're law enforcement, military, private security, or civilian, when you're training with a bunch of people, you get that bond. You start that bond with whoever you went through the training with. And especially when it becomes a physical type of training, whether it's karate, jiu-jitsu, whatever it may be, you start getting a bond with that person next to you. And because you're embracing, for lack of a better phrase, you're embracing the suck together. And that becomes something that will be connected with you for the rest of your life. And the more you change your lifestyle into the self-defense realm, those people that are with you and the same like-minded people, you'll have them with you as friends forever. When I started doing Brazilian jiu-jitsu and through the U.S. Kodagon out of New York, the guys that I started with 10 years ago, I'm still good friends with them. You know, these guys I call out of nowhere, and we're going to go train, and they're family. And that's the nice part. And, you know, it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter the color of your skin, because the reality is we all bleed red. We all have a set of lungs. We all have a brain. So the more we work together and have whatever that common bond is, that's what keeps the strength of everything together.
Yeah. Tell us, Chris, about how the United States military, in this case with you, the Air Force, bonded you together. In fact, let me ask you this question after we come back. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with Chris Sweeten. He is the co-owner of 3D Security Services Group. We'll be right back after these.
Gonset Physical Medicine specializes in the diagnosis and treatment of spinal ligament injury. Don't ignore the pain and discomfort any longer. Schedule a consultation today at gonsted-nm.com or 505-884-8584.
The most recent State of the Bible survey revealed that only 9% of millennials read the Bible on a daily basis. The most skeptical generation on record is also uninformed about the Word of God. Small wonder there's such lifestyle confusion. What about your own children or your grandchildren? How can you pass on your faith to a younger generation so they don't become a statistic and skeptic? We want to help you encourage a young person in your life to get excited about God's Word and all He has for them. Soaring Through the Bible by Skip Heitzig gives kids and tweens an overview of the entire Bible in an exciting travel guide format that includes fun illustrations and fascinating facts to keep them engaged. We'll send you your copy of this Made for Kids resource when you give a generous donation of $35 or more to help keep these Bible-based teachings on the air, connecting more people like you to God's Word. Call now to give and then receive your copy of Soaring Through the Bible, 800-922-1888. Or give online securely at connectwithskip.com/offer.
This week on A Daily Walk.
Listen, the gifts of the Holy Spirit are given for the edifying of the body of Christ. They're not given to draw attention to ourselves. They're not given so people could put on a show. They're given for the purpose of bringing glory to God.
Join us as we journey through 1 Corinthians with John Randall here on A Daily Walk.
Weekdays at 5:30 a.m. on KNKT.
The Poor Man Test. This is Roger Patterson with a Minute of Vision for Life. Did you know that where you put your money shows what's in your heart? See, money is the one area where God says, hey, try me in this. And for many people, money is the one area that they withhold from God. Jesus said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Translation, look at where a man puts his money and you'll see what has his heart. Here's one way to determine who or what has your heart. The poor. Proverbs 14:31 says, whoever oppresses the poor shows contempt for their maker, but whoever is kind to the needy honors God. You see, Jesus said you'll always have the poor with you. So do you show contempt for them or do you respect them and show them kindness? Here's the bottom line. What you do with the poor in your midst declares what you think about God. Show God what you think of Him today when you encounter the poor of your community and bless them.
You've been listening to Dr. Roger Patterson with A Minute of Vision, a ministry of Vision for Life Radio at visionforlife.org.
This is a fresh thought. Listen up to Levi Lusco.
Paul didn't worship God in the jail cell so he would get out. He wasn't thinking, if I worship, there may be an earthquake. They figured they were there for the night. Paul got arrested so often, it was very rare that he would get released so miraculously. He was just worshiping God, and God chose to respond in the way that he did. Paul was probably as surprised as anybody when it happened. And so he had to eventually move on, and he got to go back there later on in his travels and encourage the church and celebrate what they were doing and give him some guidance. And then he comes to this time of confinement, and it's about 12 years later, AD 62 or so, and the Philippian church had just put together an offering and sent it to Paul through the use of a servant named Epaphroditus. And Epaphroditus had risked his life to get this money to Paul.
For more fresh thoughts, go to levilusco.com.
On KNKT, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
We are back with Chris Sweeten. He is the owner of 3D Security Training Solutions, 3D Security Investigative Services, and 3D Security Services Group. Chris, before we go into talking about how the military bonded you together with other men and women of different ethnicities and made you a team and a cohesive unit, I want to ask you a little bit about 3D. You have three companies, three different purposes. Tell us about your business a little bit.
So it all started with the training company, 3D Security Training Solutions, and that company was founded in 2014 because I saw a problem with private security. And I was taught a lot of stuff in the military in the combat search and rescue realm that teaches people about situational awareness and how to protect themselves, and that's what we wanted to start, and giving it back to our community. So that's what we started. 2 years after that, I was started to ask to provide security officers due to the amount of training that we were giving and the quality of training. So we started 3D Security Services Group, and quickly became one of the premier companies here in New Mexico, not just in Albuquerque. We work all over the state. And then 2 years into that, we were asked to start process serving and doing some background investigations and some private investigative work. So we went and applied for our PI licenses through the state, got them, and started 3D Security Investigative Services to do premier private investigative work. We've got a couple law firms that we work for, helping them when they need to go to court.
Yes. So, Chris, I want to get back to training a little bit because that was the main reason I was intrigued to talk with you. But let's give everybody a phone number, if you would, how to get in touch with you, because companies that need security, you can help them with that. Security companies that need to train officers, you also do that on their behalf as well, don't you?
Yes, sir. Anybody that wants to get in touch with us for training, for officers, for investigations, the easiest thing is the number to call is 505-750-4220. And that'll get you to 3D security training solutions, and from there we can transfer you around.
And I know you have separate web addresses for each one of the 3D companies, but there's one web address, the www.tgonm.com website that has all of your companies on it, right?
That is correct. That is the parent company. So once we made the third company, SIS, my mentors all told me to form a corporation and have all the companies rolled up underneath that corporation. And in 2018, we started that. And Triskelion Group of New Mexico is the parent company's name of all of the 3Ds underneath it. So, and that website, to get you to all of them, is exactly what you said, www.tgonm.com.
So, Chris, you're a young guy going into the United States Air Force, and I'm sure you had some black friends and some Asian friends and some Hispanic friends and maybe some other ethnicities in there. But how did you get to know and go to war, literally, with the men and women that you served with?
So, yes, I technically, to answer your question, yes, I had multiple differences as friends, but I don't look at them as any different than myself. And the way we got there was we had one like mission. And our job in the military was to do combat search and rescue, or search and rescue, period. So if somebody was hurt, we got the call to go get them. We were a no-fail organization, because if we failed, somebody died. So no, our motto in the rescue community was, these things we do that others may live. So no matter what it was, we went and got it done. And whether you were getting shot at, you were having missiles shot at you, you were in a perfect storm, it clear blue and sunny, it didn't matter. The fact is, we all came together for one common mission, and that was to save somebody else's life. And in my opinion, there's no greater calling than that, is to save somebody else and putting your life on the line to save somebody else. And as a matter of fact, that's one of our company mottos. And it is something that will live with me for till the day I am no longer breathing on this earth. I'm instilling it into my children, and those men and women that were all a part of it, the military, the combat search and rescue world, personal recovery world, I don't care what you call it, the special forces, any one of them, all of us went through the same thing. And it was to learn to be a better person, to work as a team together, to save else's life. And, you know, the minute people start looking at people based off of a color, then in my mind that goes back to ignorance, because they don't know something and that's what people are afraid of. And then, just like you said earlier, like the pastor was talking about, you know, racism is somebody trying to take power. And I'm a very simple man. If somebody's trying to be powerful over somebody else, that, to me, that's called a bully. And I can't stand bullies, because I was bullied as a kid. You know, I got big ears and I'm Irish, so I was bullied all the time. And I learned back in the day when my father, when I was 12 years old, told me, life's going to put walls in front of you, whether it's a person, whether it's a thing, no matter what it is, it will be a wall put in front of you. Either find a way around it or go through it. And the fact is, never settle for anything. Always make yourself better and work through whatever problems you encounter. So, and I've lived my life with that, and then I got into the military and did it that way, and then I started these companies from a concept to where now I'm actually getting a salary, and more importantly, we're helping the community.
Yes. Chris, you know that our audience is largely a faith-based audience, and you're a person of faith yourself. Have you seen in working with people to de-escalate situations that a biblical concept of a kind word turning away wrath, does that really work?
From my experience?
Yes.
Yes. It doesn't happen right away, but yes, the more, what's the saying, kill people with kindness? When somebody's insulting you and yelling at you, whatever it may be, the minute you start talking about them having, I understand you have issues, what may they be, getting them to vent, putting good thoughts out there, you don't want to say when somebody's venting, oh, the weather's perfect, because then it shows that you don't care. You have to have empathy for what they're dealing with. So I don't care who you are, at some point in your life, you were mad about something. You can find a way to connect with what they're mad about. And right now, with everything that's going on and all the protesters that are out there that are protesting, for, Mr. Floyd, as they should be, let them vent. Let them say everything they need to. They're protected by the Constitution for that. And think back to when you had something bad happen to you that you were so frustrated about, and find that common connection. Now, as far as everybody else and what happens after the protests, and those are just criminals, and I don't even want to go down that road with them. That disrespects everything that all those people that are protesting for, and that's completely wrong what's happening tonight.
Well, I know the motto of your company, and you have this on your emails and everything else, is John 15:13. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. And so I know that's your heart, Chris, and I know that you deal with people literally of all races, and that includes criminals of all races. And you try to teach them with dignity, or you try to treat them with dignity, but you also have a firm hand. But your training, and that's what I've been so impressed with. I've seen your reality-based training. I've seen the things that you teach security people, and I know that there are techniques that you have to do over and over and over and over. I guess what I'm asking is as we think about the sacrifice that law enforcement is making, I mean, they literally are putting their lives on the line. It's not the police that are bad. Would you agree with that?
100%. It's not law enforcement. It's not private security. It's not the general public. There are bullies in every culture, and those are what the problems are. And as much training that the law enforcement side goes through, I don't care if you're state, federal, local, county, the amount of training they go through, law enforcement usually weeds out their problem children, and they police themselves. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, there's always going to be a 10% rule that applies. And how do we make that better? Is truly the question. And how do we make sure this doesn't happen again? I don't care what color you are. How do we make sure a human is taken care of? And the reality is, the only thing that's going to help, in my opinion, is good people will have to stand up for whatever industry they're in. So if there's other police officers there when something's going down, one of those other cops should have stood up and said, hey, dude, I've got this. Let me take over. You handle the crowd. Something. And not let the crowd dictate what's happening. Because you see it, and it's called a mob mentality. You see that happen when normally good people would not have anything happening or wouldn't do anything, and all of a sudden get into a mob, and now they're throwing stuff. And, and I go back to the perfect storm. I mean, unfortunately, right now, COVID is out there, and you have everybody, the amount of people that have lost their jobs that are stressing about money because they're not working. Yes, they're getting stimulus checks. Yes, they're getting unemployment, hopefully. Hopefully they're getting the stimulus on top of their unemployment. But at the end of the day, everybody's still sequestered at home for the most part. And now that things are starting to open back up, people have got this pent-up energy, and all of a sudden this happens. And enough is enough, and it just became a powder keg and exploded. And now all of a sudden, I hate to say this, nobody's talking about COVID, but I'm afraid, you know, something could happen on the backside because of all of these protests that, you know, nobody's social distancing anymore. Our governor's not making us, you know, shutting it down because it's a First Amendment right. But at the same time, where, if people are getting up, arrested for opening up a restaurant and fined, and now we're at this side of it. But it's a very delicate balance. And I think, unfortunately, you know, the way timing came out, it was a perfect storm for everybody to just explode, and they've had enough, and I don't blame them.
Yes. Well, Chris, we're going to take one more break and say thanks to some of our sponsors. But when we come back, I want to talk to you about how the sale of handguns has increased exponentially. I know you're a gun guy. I love to shoot targets, but frankly, I'm a little nervous about people that have no training with these handguns. So we're going to talk about that when we come back. Chris Sweeten, co-owner of 3D Security Services, on the phone with us this afternoon. We'll be right back.
Calvary College is now open for registration. Calvary College is offering select online classes as an opportunity for individuals to take their life's calling to a whole new level with an educational emphasis in biblical studies. With our unique partnerships with Veritas International University and Calvary Chapel University, you will have the opportunity to obtain your bachelor's or master's degree with complete online programs. Whether you're looking to obtain an accredited online degree or take individual courses to become better equipped in your knowledge of God's unchangeable truth, Calvary College has you covered with a range of opportunities. On-site classes are scheduled to begin in 2021. For updates on classes and registration information for Calvary College, please visit calvaryabq.college. That's calvaryabq.college. For Calvary College, calvaryabq.college.
Since the Bible is the Word of God, since it does reveal the character of God, since it alone describes salvation and eternal life, since all these things are true of God's Word, how important is it to know what every word of Scripture means? Hi friends, John MacArthur here. There's only one way to tap into the power of Scripture, and that's by immersing yourself in it regularly. Every day on Grace to You, we unpack the Bible verse by verse, precept upon precept, and there's no better way to spend 30 minutes of your day. So join us here on this station for Grace to You.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on KNKT. On KNKT, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Chris Sweeten, owner of Triskelion Group. They are the holding company for 3D Security Services Group, 3D Security Training Solutions, and 3D Security Investigative Services. If you want to get in touch with Chris, as he's spoken today very directly about a lot of things that may interest you as a business owner. He may be able to help you with training your employees on some personal protection things. He may be able to provide security services for you. I know, Chris, you guys also install technologies. You do camera systems and alarms and all that type of thing. So if you want to contact Chris and his team, contact them at 505-750-4220. And I want to also reach out or mention to security companies out there that Chris is one of the few certified trainers. Chris, you also have founded a nonprofit organization to support security companies. What is that called?
That is the New Mexico Professional Security Association. Right now we're representing about 60% of the state of New Mexico with all the security companies.
Chris, why is it so important for security companies to have proper training and actually adhere to the rules as put out by the regulation and licensing division?
It's all about liability. Mm-hmm. As a business owner, just because you hire a security company does not mean you're not liable for the actions of that company. And you need to make sure their training is adequate, they're registered through the state, and if they're not and somebody has something happened to them, now you're just as much at fault. It happened to Whataburger a couple years ago when they had hired a security company that was unlicensed, and they had an unlicensed guard there that was carrying a gun and ended up shooting somebody in their drive-thru, and they ended up having to settle out of court for certain amount of money, I'm not sure. But they were sued specifically because they did not have a licensed security company.
Yes. Well, and I can't imagine, and this is where I wanted to go away from the police and away from private security for just a minute and talk about individuals that are listening today. A lot of people in our community and around the country are buying guns, Chris, because they're concerned. COVID kind of stimulated some of it, some of the rioting and other things that have been happening because of George Floyd's tragic situation is also motivating some of this. But I am personally nervous, Chris, about people that have no training being in possession of a firearm. Tell us about your feeling about that and how your company is prepared to help people operate these firearms safely.
Yeah, we have multiple training classes, especially for people who have never handled a firearm before, and it teaches them. We don't go out to the range with it. We take it apart. We put it back together. We teach them the functionality of it, the safety rules, most importantly. And so that way they understand that it's not a, toy. It's not something to threaten somebody with. It's actually a very serious piece of equipment that is a self-defense tool. And it's all what it's actually meant for, to protect yourself, your family. And we go through all the laws with them and break that all down and teach them, how to actually pull the trigger and the steps that go into becoming a good trained marksman. And, starting off with the basics. You gotta walk, crawl before you can walk, and you gotta walk before you can run. Yeah. And unfortunately, people think that they can just go pick up a gun and all of a sudden they're gonna go, do what they see on TV, which is 99% wrong. Most of the time. So those are issues that we get rid of the false nomers and let people understand what the true facts are and how they operate and what they do and move forward and continuing on. They get into not only the basics, but then we have intermediate level classes. And it's not just for handguns. It's the same thing for shotguns, same thing for rifle. Then we have intermediate classes, and then we move into more tactical and moving and shoot scenarios and stuff like that.
Yeah, Chris, share a little bit about the fun, though. I mean, when you take a basic handgun course from 3D, you guys actually have some fun. I mean, you probably have how many different models of guns, and people get a chance to handle them and look at them and see what's comfortable and how they can operate it. I think that's really not just something for self-defense, but it's kind of fun.
Yeah, we've got multiple different firearms that we bring into the classroom, and there's, at last count, I think we're up to 23 different ones that the students get to take apart, put back together, learn how they function, and that way when they go to purchase their own firearm, we'll go with them. One of our instructors will go to different firearm shops that we have a teaming agreement with, and our instructors will go down there with them and actually help them with picking out a firearm. And so that way they're not alone in this process thinking that they're, hey, I slept at a Holiday Inn Express last night. I can do anything I want. once again, you don't rise to the occasion. You fall to your training. So if we teach them from the beginning how a semi-automatic works, how a revolver works, how to lock a slide back, the different nomenclature on there, all those things, it starts them with getting rid of that fear, and it turns it into, like you said, it becomes fun because it becomes something that's initially new to them, so there's a fear of it, and then it grows into, oh, this is actually it's a good thing, and it just continues moving forward. And then some of the basic other classes, we have what's called Ultimate Training Munitions, or UTMs, and they can actually shoot inside our classroom with blanks. So the first time they go out to the range, they're not scared because of the noise and what the gun's doing. And then, in the more intermediate and advanced classes, well, we give them marker rounds that are UTM. So now we put them in shoot-no-shoot scenarios. So it's not just being out on the range dealing with a square target, flat piece of paper. You know, we've got classroom dummies. We've got people dressed out in defensive tactics suits, and they have to truly do decision-making shooting for some of the more advanced classes. And people learn where they're going to fail, and they fix it, and they learn, so their brain processes it that much faster. So, and that's truly where it gets fun, not only for the basic student and the advanced students, for the instructors, too, because now we're out there acting, role-playing as, you know, a criminal and watching the student's light bulb come on when they actually, the synapses starts firing and they start understanding what's happening and why things are the way they are and what they did wrong and how they're going to fix it on the next level. And just watching them grow as a student is amazing. And all of our instructors here love that phase. So when they see those students who started off from basic all the way up to an advanced side and watching them do the things they're doing, you know, I've got a quote from one of our students that, you know, it basically says, Chris brought me from zero to not quite hero, more in line of a sidekick, but hey, I'm working my way up.
So it's
just these guys, our instructors and the students, they end up having so much fun through it. It's not training at that point, and people are truly learning, and that's the environment we always want to get to.
Now, Chris, are we back to being able to have classes because of COVID, or how is that being handled now?
So on the security and the law enforcement realm, we were considered essential, so we were always having classes, but we limited them to class size. Even though we didn't have to, we did, and we kept them to four students plus the instructor, and now we're the civilian side is able to open back up, but we're doing the same thing there, four students, one instructor.
And so if you have a group of people, maybe you have three friends that want to do it, maybe you've got a business group, you can split them up. You provide a few group discounts as well, don't you?
Yes. Normally, if before what we were doing was every fifth one is free. So if it's a group of 10, you know, we work it, we split them up, and that way they're only paying for eight. So, we have it set up. We have 2,000-square-foot training facility that we use to do all that training. We've got our range out north of Rio Rancho that we use. So there's multiple ways of doing this. And, you know, if we have one big group class, we have two separate classrooms. We have another 1,000-square-foot facility that we use as our conference room slash other offices that we can take them and split those, you know, a big group class up, put, you know, so a couple in one classroom and another in another classroom. And when we're out on the range, we just book two different ranges. So that way everybody can still go together as a group, and that's when it's truly fun.
Well, you have explained to us why you think it's so important to have training, but I want to give you a scenario. You can pretty much go to a number of places in Albuquerque, and for less than $200, you can get a concealed carry permit. But in my view, in my opinion, I can't imagine just going through and learning about the legalities about carrying a handgun and discharging it and never really having any experience. That seems to me to be very, very dangerous. Again, Chris, I need you to reiterate to people, what process do you recommend for people that want to get a concealed carry? I know you just don't want to have them take one class.
Anytime you talk about somebody that's looking, it's truly a lifestyle change. If they're just in it for, I want to get my concealed carry license, you know, okay, that's great. There's nothing wrong with it, but it truly needs to be a mindset shift. But it has to go to a personal protection realm and why they're doing it. And, you know, I have lots of friends that do concealed carry, you know, instructors. If they don't want to come to us, I've got plenty of other guys that they can go to around the city, around the state. And, you know, we all send each other business. That's the nice part about it. But the fact is, it's got to be something that they're willing to continue training on, you know, and it's because that decision-making process needs to be there in the spur of the moment. When seconds count, tenths of seconds matter. And the fact is, you need to know what is happening. So if you're not practicing it, if you're not going through a personal protection all the way up, you know, to continuation training on doing, you know, whatever it is you're working on, your self-defense tool, then you're not going to achieve the level you think you're going to get to. or you want to be at. And that's why it's no different than whatever your job is. You know, nobody can go in being a top executive for any company or a preacher or anything until they start at the bottom and work their way up. That's what school's for. Everybody goes through grade school. Everybody goes through high school. Everybody, you know, should go through college. But the reality is, whatever job you have or whatever industry you're a part of, you're starting at the bottom of it and working your way up so you can master your craft. And then once you've mastered your craft, you have to continue with continuing education to stay at that level. And personal protection is no different. Just because you get a little license that you stick in your wallet or your purse to carry with you doesn't mean you're going to be able to handle yourself in an environment that calls for you to draw that firearm.
Well, because I've gone through a lot of your training, Chris, I have to give a testimony here. I am so obsessive about how you've trained me. I was in a gun store a week ago, and the gentleman behind the counter, former law enforcement, obviously knew a lot about firearms, and I'm looking at a semi-automatic handgun. He slides and locks the slide back, and then he aims the firearm at himself and hands it to me butt first. And just the fact that he was aiming the gun at himself made me really, really nervous. And the friend that I was with said to him, "That doesn't seem like it's safe." He goes, "Oh, well, I've checked it 3 times and I've done this and that." But in my training with you, Chris, I've learned that I don't ever flag anybody with that weapon. I don't care if the slide's back. I don't care if the magazine out and it's been checked 47 times. I am never, ever, ever going to aim a firearm at another human being, for safety reasons. And I have to tell you, I'm entirely comfortable with that, but this experience I had at this gun store really made me nervous.
Well, the first, the very first one, safety rule is always treat a firearm like it's loaded.
Yes.
Plain and simple. I don't care if it's locked to the rear, unloaded, checked, verified 3 times. You always treat it like it's loaded. And the second one is always keep it pointed in a safe direction. Never point at something you're not willing to, destroy. So the fact is there's 2 safety violations that were done right there, and that's what happens. People get complacent, and if you're not doing it the same way every single time, you're not going to be able to do it. The easiest way, and you've heard me say this before, the easiest way for people to understand what I mean is parallel parking. Everybody had to parallel park to get your driver's license, but the minute you go, you take your test, nobody parallel parks unless you have to. And now, granted, some cars now have a little button you can push and it parallel parks for you. But the point is, if you don't practice it, you're not going to be able to do it. And if you don't practice firearm safety every single time, you're going to get hurt. It may not happen right away. It may not happen tomorrow. But it's going to happen. Because if you violate one safety rule, you'll violate all of them. Because you're not paying attention.
Well, Chris, I appreciate you very much. One more time, why don't you tell our listeners how they can get in touch with you? They may have a business and want to hire you as security. They may want to go through some training. They may have a security company and they want to train their security officers. How do people get in touch with you?
505-750-4220, or they can go to our TG website at www.tgonm.com. And it'll have an info box. They can shoot us an email and we'll get back to them.
Chris, thank you so much for joining us on ABQ Connect. We appreciate you very much.
It's an honor to be here, Jim. Thank you, sir.
ABQ Connect with Jim Williams is a production of KNKT. The views expressed on ABQ Connect do not necessarily reflect the views of the staff or management of KNKT. If you missed any or part of today's show, get the free podcast at abqconnect.online.